men together pulled back on the levers of their Model 38s and loaded a cartridge into each chamber, the ominous dry clicking transformed the whole atmosphere of the place. The Tigers stood up at the sound. Glaring at the soldiers through the iron bars, they let out huge roars. As an extra precaution, the lieutenant drew his automatic pistol and released the safety. To calm himself, he cleared his throat. "This is nothing," he tried to tell himself. "Everybody does stuff like this all the time." The soldiers knelt down, took careful aim, and, at the lieutenant's command, pulled their triggers. The recoil shook their shoulders, and for a moment their minds went empty, as if flicked away. The roar of the simultaneous shots reverberated through the deserted zoo, echoing from building to building, wall to wall, slicing through wooded areas, crossing water surfaces, a stab to the hearts of all who heard it, like distant thunder. The animals held their breath. Even the cicadas stopped crying. Long after the echo of gunfire faded into the distance, there was not a sound to be heard. As if they had been whacked with a huge club by an invisible giant, the tigers shot up into the air for a moment, then landed on the floor of the cage with a great thud, writhing in agony, vomiting blood. The soldiers had failed to finish the tigers off with a single volley. Snapping out of their trance, the soldiers pulled back on their rifle levers, ejecting spent shells, and took aim again. The lieutenant sent one of his men into the cage to be certain that both tigers were dead. They certainly looked dead, eyes closed, teeth bared, all movement gone. But it was important to make sure. The vet unlocked the cage, and the young soldier, he had just turned 20, stepped inside fearfully, thrusting his bayonet ahead of him. It was an odd performance, but no one laughed. He gave a light kick to one tiger's hindquarters with the heel of his boot. The tiger remained motionless. He kicked the same spot again, this time a little harder. The tiger was dead, without a doubt. The other tiger, the female, lay equally still. The young soldier had never visited a zoo in his life, nor had he ever seen a real tiger before, which was partly why he couldn't quite believe that they had just succeeded in killing a real, live tiger. He felt only that he had been dragged into a place that had nothing to do with him, and had been forced to perform an act that had nothing to do with him. Standing in an ocean of black blood, he stared down at the tiger's corpses, entranced. They looked much bigger dead than they had when alive. Why should that be? He asked himself, mystified. The cage's concrete floor was suffused with the piercing smell of the big cat's urine, and mixed with it was the warm odor of blood. Blood was still gushing from the holes torn in the tiger's bodies, forming a sticky black pond around his feet. All of a sudden, the rifle in his hands felt heavy and cold. He wanted to fling it away, bend down, and vomit the entire contents of his stomach onto the floor. What a relief it would have been. But vomiting was out of the question. The squad leader would beat his face out of shape. Of course, this soldier had no idea that he would die 17 months later when a Soviet guard in a mine near Irkutsk would split his skull open with a shovel. He wiped the sweat from his forehead with the back of his wrist. His helmet was weighing down upon him. One cicada, then another, began to cry again, as if finally revived. Soon their cries were joined by those of a bird, distinctive cries like the winding of a spring. Creak! Creak! The young soldier had moved from a mountain village in Hokkaido across the sea to China with his parents at the age of 12, and together they had tilled the soil of a frontier village in Beiyang until a year ago, when he had been drafted into the army. Thus he knew all the birds of Manchuria, but he had never heard a bird with that particular cry. Perhaps it was a bird imported from a distant land, crying in its cage in another part of the zoo. Yet the sound seemed to come from the upper branches of a nearby tree. He turned and squinted in the direction of the sound, but he could see nothing. A huge elm tree with dense leaves cast its cool, sharp shadow on the ground below. He looked towards the lieutenant as if requesting instructions. The lieutenant nodded, ordered him out of the cage, and spread open the zoo map again. So much for the tigers. Next, we'll do the leopards. Then,